Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 34 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I talked to the business owners. There's no similar business owners there in Lexington. They never say we need to have smoke. We need to allow smoke in our restaurants.
Democratic State Senator Reginald Thomas of Lexington speaks out in favor of a statewide smoking ban.
Kentucky's unemployment numbers for the month of November are out, and it's good news.
And Kentucky's senior senator will be the majority leader in the Senate next year. He talks about item one on his agenda.
In sports, the MSU Eagles have dropped their fifth straight game to Wisconsin Green Bay.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
And be on the lookout for Jack Frost tonight. Some snow flurries are possible this evening. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
We begin the news this afternoon with Kentucky's unemployment rate, which has hit a six-year low. KNN's Will Clark reports.
Kentucky's jobless rate for November is 6%, down 0.2 from October and 2.1% from November of last year. November's unemployment rate still remains higher than the national rate of 5.8%. State officials say the last time the state recorded a drop of 2% or more in the jobless rate from year to year was in the early 1980s. Officials say Kentucky's workforce dropped by over 3,200 people from October to November to just over 1.9 million. I'm Will Clark.
Despite an improving economy and a declining unemployment rate, the need for emergency food assistance in central and eastern Kentucky is rising. That's according to officials at the Lexington-based God's Food Pantry. The warehouse serves needy households in a 50-county region and experienced record demand for its services in October. Ben Cottle chairs the pantry's regional advisory board in Moorhead.
It appears that a lot of the middle class and upper class continue to do better, but at the same time it's almost as if pushing down on the lower class. So yes, it's unfortunate that we're seeing our numbers go up, but yes, there's a monumental need still for God's Pantry.
Last year, God's Pantry distributed 26 million pounds of food to families in need, including 8 million pounds of fresh produce.
The Christmas break has come early for students in the Lawrence County School District. Classes have been canceled for the rest of this week because so many youngsters are ill. Superintendent Robbie Fletcher spoke with WSAZ.
The cold and flu season has hit us pretty hard for the past week. We had hoped that today it would kind of level out and be a little bit better, but we had a lot of our elementary schools were sending kids home with flu-like symptoms.
Fletcher tells the Huntington Station the 2 days the students are missing will be made up at the end of the school year.
Marshall University is mourning the sudden death of its president. Dr. Stephen Kopp suffered a heart attack at his home Wednesday and died at about 9 p.m. at Cabell Huntington Hospital. He was 63. Kopp is being praised across the Mountain State today for his commitment to higher education and encouraging students to excel. He talked about those things during his State of the University speech last June.
We have been trying to move the university forward with the idea that we expect success. We expect excellence. We don't wish and hope for it. We expect it, and we want to imbue that in our students. There is nothing that you can't do if you set your mind to doing it, and if you really believe it and expect it.
Dr. Kopp had been Marshall's president since 2005. He was the school's 36th president. During his tenure, $200 million in new buildings and building renovations were completed, and many new degree programs were introduced, including digital forensics and the new schools of pharmacy, physical therapy, and public health.
State Senator Joe Bowen says he agrees with the goal of those who advocate a statewide smoke-free law in Kentucky, but he thinks the issue should be handled locally. The Owensboro Republican made his comments on Wednesday at a hearing on the proposed legislation.
This argument should have been made at the local level, and all of these compelling, compassion-filled presentations should have been at City Hall. They should have been at fiscal court. They should have been done at the local level. And when local communities cop out on this and turn to Frankfurt, turn to Big Brother to make a decision that they should be making at the local level, it's frustrating for me.
Bowen says he considers it contradictory when local governments tell state lawmakers they want home rule but call on the General Assembly to pass sweeping smoke-free legislation.
State Senator Reginald Thomas of Lexington says those who claim that passage of a statewide smoke-free law will hurt the restaurant business have been proven wrong. The Democrat says his city was among the first in the Commonwealth to approve local smoking restrictions in 2003.
Since then, the number of restaurants and dining facilities in Lexington has expanded significantly. Every time you drive around Lexington, you say, where did that restaurant come from? You go along the Short Street corridor there in Lexington, thriving throughout the week in terms of the number of people who are dining and enjoying going out.
Thomas says Lexington's smoke-free ordinance has saved the city millions of dollars in health care costs. He serves on the Senate's Health and Welfare Committee and made his comments at a public hearing Wednesday.
A state agency says more than $800,000 in grant funding has been awarded by the Kentucky Pride Fund to clean up 102 illegal dumps in 20 different counties. Those counties include Bath, Breathitt, Elliott, Jackson, Owsley, Powell, and Wolfe. As part of the funding, the counties agree to provide a 25% match on illegal dump sites costing less than $50,000 to clean up. The Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet may waive the match on any dump costing more than $50,000 to remediate. Secretary Lynn Peters says cleaning up such places is a big economic burden on local governments.
The CDC says that since American Craig Spencer survived his bout with the disease last month, the United States has been Ebola-free. But that hasn't stopped St. Clair Regional Medical Center from continuing to prepare for a possible outbreak. Valerie Campbell is the director of public relations for the medical center. She says that Ebola preparedness was added to the center's list of routine infectious disease drills. According to Campbell, if a person is suspected of having Ebola, doctors begin their diagnosis with two simple questions.
Have you been to Africa recently? And the second question would be, have you been in contact with someone who has been recently? And if either of those questions are yes, and you're having the symptoms, which are pretty much flu-related, then obviously you want to make sure that you get to a healthcare facility.
All frontline staff at St. Clair have been trained in recognizing a possible Ebola patient and how to care for said individual, along with the proper use of personal protective equipment.
The U.S. Senator from Kentucky, who becomes majority leader of the chamber in January, says legislation authorizing construction of the Keystone Pipeline will be the first order of business in the new year. Republican Mitch McConnell spoke at a press conference in Washington.
The Keystone Pipeline, as you know, has been around 6 years. Senator Hoeven has been single-minded in his pursuit of this job-creating bill. People want jobs, and this project will create well-paying, high-wage jobs for our people.
McConnell says there are already 19 pipelines in the U.S. that cross into Canada or Mexico, so there should be no harmful impact on the environment.
At least one Cuban immigrant is offering some cautious optimism about Cuban-American relations. Dr. Enrico Santi first came to the U.S. from Cuba in 1962, on the same week as the Cuban Missile Crisis. He is currently professor of Hispanic Studies at the University of Kentucky. He believes Cubans everywhere are excited to hear that Washington and Havana are opening diplomatic operations.
The Cuban people, upon hearing the news, have been crying their eyes out because they're jumping for joy. So I'm glad that there is some sort of a communication between the United States and Cuba. Whether that will mean change for the Cuban government is, of course, a completely different matter.
The announcement came from President Obama Wednesday after 18 months of secret talks with Cuba.
Resuming trade with Cuba is probably a good idea, so says United States Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. The Republican lawmaker offered his analysis on President Obama's decision to seek normalized relations with Cuba during an interview with a West Virginia radio station.
You know, the 50-year embargo with Cuba just hadn't worked. I mean, if the goal was regime change, sure doesn't seem to be working. Probably it punishes the people more than the regime because the regime can blame the embargo for hardship.
Paul is the first potential Republican presidential candidate to offer some support for President Obama's initiative. The senator says many U.S. farmers support trade with Cuba because it would open a new market for their crops.
A former Vanceburg mayor is being honored tomorrow. Samantha Morrill has the story.
The Vanceburg Municipal Building will be renamed the William T. Cooper Municipal Building in a ceremony Friday. Cooper served as mayor of Vanceburg for 17 years and was running for re-election this fall, but died in October before the election took place. Current Vanceburg Mayor Chris McGlone says Cooper spent most of his time in the city building, and many other structures in town were built because of him. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
A widening of Interstate 64 in Huntington to six lanes will be completed next spring. The $18 million project included replacing an overpass and widening about 4 miles of interstate in both directions, from the 29th Street exit to the Hal Greer Boulevard exit. Division of Highway spokeswoman Carrie Bly and District Engineer Chris Collins tell the Herald-Dispatch the project is substantially complete. Crews still need to lay a final layer of asphalt and install guardrails. Collins says the DOH hopes to resume work in late March or early April. A 50-mile-per-hour speed limit will remain in effect. Collins says the highway is technically still an active work zone.
17 people who hiked hundreds of miles of Kentucky's longest trail this year have been honored by the Sheltowee Trace Association. Each year, the association leads a series of guided section hikes on the entire length of the Sheltowee Trace called the Hiker Challenge. Hikers are able to complete the trace in 11 months by hiking one weekend a month. Association officials say the people who completed the trek included 71-year-old Caner Rudy Davis of Lexington, making him the oldest to complete the Hiker Challenge. The Sheltowee Trace covers 269 miles in Kentucky, with the remainder in Tennessee. The trace begins above Moorhead, Kentucky, and travels southwest through the heart of the Daniel Boone National Forest into the Big South Fork National River and Recreation Area and into Tennessee. Now your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Ashland, Campton, and Owingsville. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. We'll see flurries possible in the evening and lows around 25 degrees. For tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with highs around 38. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of snow later with lows in the upper 20s. On Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy. We'll see a slight chance of snow in the morning with highs in the upper 30s. Saturday night, partly cloudy with lows around 28. On Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy. We'll see highs around 42 degrees, and Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain and lows in the lower 30s. On Monday, at the start of next week, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain and highs around 48 degrees. Monday night, mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of rain and lows around 40. And on Tuesday next week, cloudy with a 60% chance of rain and highs around 50 degrees. It is currently 31 degrees in Ashland. It's 30 right now in Flemingsburg, 33 in Inez, 31 degrees in both Lexington and Winchester, and it's sitting at 34 degrees right now here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
The time is 4:43, and you're tuned in to Mountain Edition right here on Moorhead State Public Radio. That was the weather forecast from Arlo Barnett, and I'm Joshua Grandison. We're glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Stay tuned. At 5 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR. On our feature segment this afternoon, it's one of the top priorities of Moorhead State University moving forward into 2015 and beyond. The graduate school program is essential to the growth of the institution. Today, David Patrick from the Office of Communications and Marketing shows us how online classes and affordability make it easier than ever to work toward that degree.
The graduate school is dedicated to scholarship, research, and cutting-edge instruction. There are 76 graduate degree programs, plus 42 graduate-level non-degree programs. Matthew Henry Marshall is a graduate student from Albuquerque, New Mexico. He appreciates the affordability of a quality graduate education.
First of all, Moorhead State University is already very inexpensive, especially for out-of-state students like myself. To me, that's the most important part, because as an out-of-state student, I pay the same as an in-state student, and it's there every semester, and it's the same price. One thing I like about Moorhead State is that they actually have the program I'm looking into. So for me, it's health systems management, and most programs just have management information systems, but this one has a specific health aspect, so when I want to go toward my career, it'll be more in the healthcare industry.
Marshall is also a national champion MSU cheerleader. He says the flexibility of an online grad program is a perfect fit for his busy schedule.
I only take online classes, and it's convenient because I can pretty much do the class whenever I have the time to. They usually give me a week per assignment, and throughout that week, I can find a good time for me to actually do it. As a working professional, online classes are just very convenient.
Jin Yi Yo is a graduate student from China. She was attracted to MSU because of the education program and friendly faculty.
I like Mohair because when I first got here, it's a small campus. I love that because you can get attention from the professor. They're very helpful and they're really student friendly.
Both Marshall and Yo serve as MSU graduate assistants, which enables them to be actively involved on campus while receiving a $10,000 stipend for the academic year.
Before I come here, I already got my graduate assistantship, which will help me to afford my school, most of my tuition, and cover my rent, my food, my living expense. What's more important is the graduate assistantship made me get involved of the future, my future career. Now I'm working for the math department, which helped me with my future career because I always want to be a teacher, so they allowed me to assist in the classroom and be a tutor to help students out. The graduate assistantship has really helped me to strengthen my skill and help me with my future.
But the biggest draw of completing a graduate degree continues to be the accessibility online. Jared Jones is the Graduate Recruitment and Retention Coordinator.
While many of our students have just finished their undergraduate degrees and are going straight into graduate school, we also have students with families and full-time job obligations. Online classes provide students with the opportunities to pursue graduate education while at the same time maintaining their other important responsibilities. Our graduate school offers over 15 degree and certificate programs that are completely online. We also offer a number of one-year master's programs. These degrees can be completed in as little as 30 hours. We have a 17-to-1 student-faculty ratio, which means our students get a more focused and individual attention from their professors.
If you're interested in pursuing a graduate degree at Morehead State University, the application process has been made simple.
Just go to www.moreheadstate.edu/apply. And if you have questions or need additional information, just contact me or one of the other friendly faces at the graduate school. You can call, email, or simply stop by and see us.
And you can visit the graduate school offices on the 7th floor of Ginger Hall or call ahead at 606-783-2039. You can also visit online at www.moreheadstate.edu/grad school. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm David Patrick.
And you are listening to Mountain Edition right here on Morehead State Public Radio. Zachary Sinviski has been keeping his eyes on your sports world. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop in the Old Morehead Cinemas on Main Street in Morehead. Morehead's independent bookstore since 1978, Coffee Tree Books carries new releases, regional authors, and monthly reading groups. The Fuzzy Duck at Coffee Tree Books serves roasted coffee, paninis, wraps, soups, muffins, and desserts. Coffee Tree Books, Main Street in Morehead, and on Facebook, Twitter, and online at coffeetreebooks.com. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Mountain Edition Sports. I'm Zachary Sinviski. Kiefer Sykes scored 17 points, and Green Bay got off to a quick start to defeat Morehead State 66-50 last night. The Phoenix opened things up with a 12-0 run and were never really threatened throughout the game, with Morehead State shooting only 33% from the field. Coach Sean Wood says, unfortunately, that's been the pattern this season.
It's never been our defense this year. It's been our offense. And, you know, that's been the problem. The name of the game is basketball, and good offense beats good defense every game, and that's what's happening. Offense is beating our good defense, and we're not coming back with some good offense. We got to get better offensively in a hurry.
Morehead State returns to Johnson Arena on Friday when it entertains Atlantic Sun Conference opponent Northern Kentucky at 7 p.m. The Morehead State women's basketball team dropped its fifth straight road game last night. The 75-69 loss to USC Upstate puts MSU at 4-7 overall and 2-5 away from Johnson Arena. Head Eagles coach Greg Todd blames the loss on too many turnovers and not taking opportunities on open shots. MSU finished with 18 turnovers and a season-low 8 assists. Upstate turned those miscues into 19 points. The Eagles return home to host Cleveland State Sunday at 2 p.m. before taking off for Christmas break. The Kentucky basketball team returns to action to face 8-3 UCLA on Saturday in the CBS Sports Classic in Chicago. Coach John Calipari was impressed with his team's win at North Carolina last week, but found many things his Cats could work on this week in preparation for the Bruins.
Toughness, rebounding, breakdowns defensively, not sprinting back, things that will cost you basketball games, which is what we focused on here now this week and for the next three.
Game time is set for 3:30 p.m. at the United Center. The Bruins game against Kentucky will take place after North Carolina faces Ohio State at 1 p.m. Just two games are on the men's top 25 basketball schedule tonight. In East Rutherford, New Jersey, the second-ranked Duke Blue Devils are playing the reigning national champions in the Connecticut Huskies. Duke starts the night with a record of 9-0. The other game this evening has number 6 Virginia at home to Cleveland State Vikings. Like Duke, the Cavaliers are unbeaten in 9 games. The Rouen boys basketball team improved their record to 5-1 after their 77-50 rout of Menifee County last night. The Vikings were paced by senior Ryan Callahan's 28 points. Coach Sean Thacker was particularly impressed with his team being able to capitalize on an early district game before a Christmas break tournament.
It's the most important game we play in the month of December. It's the one that has the most value, it has the most meaning, and it's important to go on the road and get an important district win. You know, they always play us well over there, and it's good to go over there and get that W and go into the new year 1-0.
The Vikings are back at home tomorrow evening when they square off against Lewis County. Residents in Hazard are mourning the loss of a local basketball legend. Roscoe Shackelford was 80 years old when he passed away at a nursing home yesterday morning. Shackelford was a star player for the Hazard High School basketball team and later went on to lead the program for 11 years. John Quinn is a former teammate who coached alongside Shackelford. He spoke to WYMT-TV.
The smaller schools around here, they'd have a real tough time with us. Couldn't hardly handle the Bulldogs.
Shackelford's time at Hazard led the team to 4 state tournament visits in his career. His funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. Tonight's NFL game features two teams going nowhere in the midst of lost seasons. The game has Tennessee visiting Jacksonville in a contest that features two teams with identical 2-12 records. For that, they share last place in the AFC South. The Jags and Titans met earlier in the season with Tennessee coming out on top 16-14. In more NFL news, Chicago Bears coach Mark Trestman says quarterback Jay Cutler is being benched in favor of Jimmy Clausen. Cutler leads the league in interceptions with 18 and turnovers with 24. He signed a massive 7-year deal with the Bears after last season and was the highest offensive paid player this season. The University of Kentucky football team has a new offensive coordinator. MSPR's Tanner Boyd has the story.
WKYT-TV has confirmed UK has offered the job to West Virginia offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson, and he will accept. Dawson will replace Neil Brown, who left Kentucky to become the head football coach at Troy University last month. Dawson has been with the Mountaineers since 2011 and had WVU 11th in total offense in 2014. They were among the nation's top passing teams, averaging over 300 yards a game in the air and nearly 200 per game rushing. West Virginia is scheduled to play Texas A&M on December 29th in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. It is unclear whether Dawson will coach in that event. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Tanner Boyd.
The San Diego Padres have agreed to a three-way trade that would land them prized Tampa Bay outfielder Will Myers. In the deal, which includes the Washington Nationals, San Diego also receives catcher Ryan Hannigan, pitcher Jose Castillo, and right-hander Gerardo Reyes from the Rays. Heading to Tampa Bay is right-hander Bert Smith, first baseman Jack Bowers, and catcher Rene Rivera from the Padres, and left-hander Travis Ott from the Nationals. Washington will receive right-hander Joe Ross and shortstop Trey Turner as a player to be named on June 14th. The Kansas City Royals agreed to a two-year, $20 million contract with right-hander Edinson Volquez as well. Thanks again for tuning in to Mountain Edition Sports. I'm Zachary Sinviski.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host Northern Kentucky tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., and women's basketball will host Cleveland State Sunday at 2 p.m. in MSU's Academic Athletic Center. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks rallied with the Dow Industrials climbing more than 400 points for the first time in 3 years as investors applauded the Federal Reserve's pledge that it would be patient in increasing interest rates. Also today, jobless claims fell by 6,000 to 289,000 last week, and that was the lowest since early November. And also the Conference Board's Index of Leading Indicators advanced in November for a third consecutive month, signaling the U.S. economy is picking up steam heading into the new year. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 421.28 at 17,778.15. The S&P 500 was up 48.34 at 2,061.23. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 104.08 at 4,748.4. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 25-5 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Oracle rallied after the software maker reported fiscal second quarter profit and sales that exceeded estimates. Hertz Global Holdings jumped after investor Carl Icahn reported hiking his stake in the car rental company. The U.S. dollar gained against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury note gained 7 basis points to finish at just under 2.21%. And after rising to a high of $58.73 a barrel, West Texas Intermediate Oil turned lower, losing $2.36 on the day at $54.11 a barrel. Gold futures for February delivery added 30 cents, finishing at $1,194.80 an ounce on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And also, American motorists are now paying less than $2.50 a gallon at the pump for the first time in more than 5 years, according to AAA. Turning now to individual stocks, it was CSX up 29 cents at 36.06, Verizon up 61 cents at 47.05, ExxonMobil up $2.14 at 91.16, Kroger up $1.18 at 63.64, Lowe's up 67 cents at 66.62, and AK Steel was up 45 cents to finish at 6.01. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for programming on MSPR is provided by NS2, presenting Grammy Award-winning songwriter and Americana music legend John Prine, with special guest Leo Kottke in concert at the Keith Albee Performing Arts Center in Huntington, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 25th. Tickets available now at all Ticketmaster locations and online at Ticketmaster.com. Now your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area again. Tonight, mostly cloudy with flurries possible in the evening and lows around 25 degrees. Tomorrow we'll see partly cloudy skies and highs around 38. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of snow later with lows in the upper 20s. It's currently 31 degrees in Ashland, 33 in Inez, 31 in Winchester, and 33 degrees here in Morehead.
And that wraps it up for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help today from MSPR staff members Tanner Boyd, Samantha Morrill, Zachary Sinviski, Sam Steyert, and as always, Dan Conte. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark, and our feature segment this afternoon was provided by David Patrick of Morehead State University. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY in Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is up next. The time is 5 o'clock. And stick with us. At 7 o'clock, it's Americana Crossroads.